It's Morning Edition from NPR News. Good morning. I'm David Greene.
And I'm Steve Inskeep. Of the millions of people who have fled the war in Syria, more than half are children. United Nations agencies tracking this exodus say most of the children are under the age of 11. NPR's Deborah Amos has been meeting some of them in Jordan.
We're driving in one of the poorest neighborhoods in Amman, the Jordanian capital. Psychologist Ahmed El-Rababa and Nisreen Bital make house calls 4 days a week to treat traumatized Syrian children. The project is funded by the Syrian American Medical Society. This rundown neighborhood is home to refugee families packed into squalid apartments, often isolated without much support. So the team brings a food basket on every visit.
We visit the family and give breakfast food like a gift.
That's Dr. Bital. She says many parents have no idea how to help their children cope. They're suffering from profound stress themselves.
And do you see right away that the children need your help?
Usually the mother is the one who starts talking. The other category of children is that you immediately see when we come that they are aggressive, and then you start asking the mother what's with your child.
It's the first home visit in this neighborhood, so the team waits for a signal that it's okay to come inside.
There's a father standing on the other corner. He's waving to the team of doctors, and he's holding the hand of his little girl. They're going to lead the way to his apartment.
As we climb steep concrete steps, Dr. Rababa tries to coax the little girl to say her name. He gets nothing back. She clings to her father. For many of these children, the physical threats are behind them, but deep psychological scars remain. Once inside the cramped apartment, her father does much of the talking. We agree not to use his name. Everything was stolen. Our car, our home, he says, and I was wounded. He's now blind in one eye and shuffles with a profound limp. His young daughter takes it all in. The psychologists are patient. They listen and spend a few hours here. They've made home visits to 1,000 refugee families over the past year, but Dr. Rababa says there are thousands more desperate for help. Back in his office, he shows us drawings by children in therapy.
Children draw the reality they have been through. So you can see children being killed, airplanes bombing houses, war scenes, killing and blood.
There's another stark reality. When those planes bomb Syrian homes, there's chaos. With a neighborhood in flames, families can be separated in an instant. There's a growing number of children who cross the border alone and arrive at Zaatari, Jordan's sprawling refugee camp.
They don't know what if they'll ever see their families again. So most of them come here when they're really in a desperate situation.
That's Phoebe Marabi, a child protection specialist with the International Rescue Committee. She heads a program to identify unaccompanied minors who arrive with a new wave of refugees each night. And some children are very young.
We've had as young as 4 years.
4 years? Come without their parents?
Yes. A four-year-old came without their parents, but in the company of the siblings, who are also all under 18 years.
They are now with a foster family inside the camp. That's also part of the IRC program, to identify refugee families willing to care for a traumatized child. In one of the refugee trailers in Zaatari, Abdullah Rafat says he fled southern Syria a year ago with his wife and 11 children. Rafat says parents don't look after their children here like they did in Syria. I'm trying to have discipline, he says, but the other parents, they just let it go. A few months ago, he agreed to care for one more child, 17-year-old Abdul Rahman, who arrived in Zaatari alone. For now, he's become part of this family. I have enough for a soccer team, Rafat jokes. But he's serious when he explains why he agreed to accept one more into his crowded household. He doesn't have anybody, not anybody. So we decided to care for him. If he's left by himself, life would have ruined him. A shy boy, Abdulrahman smiles. He says he's happy here in Zaatari, but he says he hopes he can find his parents one day. Deborah Amos, NPR News.